Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, full of grace and truth, you teach the truth from the Father. Help us to love you as Mary loved you, pouring the very best on your feet and humbly wiping your feet with her hair. Her heart was expressed in very visible action. Now may our lives be so different because our hearts have been transformed by your gospel, so that we express our love for you by what we do, generously loving. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen and amen. The plot is building. The Pharisees have had meetings in the Sanhedrin. What to do with Jesus was the topic. These signs are leading the people to believe in him. That last miracle sign in Bethany cannot be refuted. Many saw the dead man Lazarus come out of the tomb alive. Witnessing that wonder moved many to put their faith in Jesus. If this continues to happen, the Romans will come and take away the Pharisees' power and positions, and may even take the nation away. What to do with Jesus? In the Sanhedrin, Caiaphas arose and spoke, "It is better for you that one man die for the people than the whole nation perish." From that day forward, the Sanhedrin plotted to take Jesus' life. Jesus removed himself from public life and withdrew toward the village of Ephraim in the desert. With his disciples, Jesus stayed away from Jerusalem. The chief priests and Pharisees have given orders that if anyone knew where Jesus was, they should report it so that the Sanhedrin might arrest Jesus. Passover is coming. The time of remembering God's great deliverance from the bondage by the mighty hand of God. It's almost here. The people from all over the region, they're heading to Jerusalem. In the temple, they keep looking for Jesus. Will he come? Will he show up? And the buzz went all through the area. The crowd was growing. Jerusalem was starting to burst at the seams. Numbers of people filling the streets and countrysides. Commentaries put that number all over the place. From 100,000 plus to even into the millions. Could be, possibly would be in Jerusalem for the Passover. The animals, the food, the water, and the waste from so many people must have been a sight to see. The noise, the commotion, like, where's Waldo? In the crowd as the people wondered, where's Jesus? Jesus had been to Jerusalem for the major feasts before. He had raised a ruckus each time he was there, clearing out the temple of the money changers and all the merchants selling along with all the animals. He drove them out with a cord he weaved. Another time, standing up and telling the people to come to him if they were thirsty. Then another time, telling all that he was the light of the world. Telling all he was the good shepherd. If Jesus comes to this Passover feast, what will he do? Little did they know, this time would be the fulfillment of the words Jesus spoke when he cleared the temple at Passover a couple years ago. Destroy this temple, and I will raise it up again in 3 days. The word spreads. Hey, Jesus is in Bethany. He's at Mary and Martha's house. Lazarus is there too. You know, the one Jesus raised from the dead? And so the crowd starts moving. They gather in Bethany. This time the air is filled with the sweetest of fragrances, pure nard. The finest of perfume fills the house and spreads out in the village streets. Mary had given a precious gift, lovingly anointed Jesus' feet, wiping them with her hair. Such love for Jesus. That is what to be in a Christian's heart for Jesus. Love. Tender love for the Lord. Willingly giving the finest. You can love like that too. Love the body of Christ like that. Tenderly giving the very best to the body of Christ, which is the church, the local congregation. And I speak very pointedly and straightforward. Have you fallen in love with the body of Christ? Known here as faith in Christ. Loving this gathering of brothers and sisters so much that you look forward to giving your finest for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ will do His all in filling this place with more broken people to love into the kingdom, to love into the body of Christ. Judas objected. Money talk, missing the ministry of Mary. And how often does money talk take us away from ministry? Missing what the Lord desires us to do. Judas was selfish, thinking of himself. When we fall into money talk, is that ugliness of selfishness rearing its despicable head in our hearts? Something to think about. Jesus, He turned the attention back to Mary, back to Mary's heart. She loved. Mary, she had seen her brother die. She had experienced Jesus weeping with her deeply for her brother Lazarus. She had witnessed the wonder of the stone rolled away and Jesus speak about seeing the glory of God if you believed. Then to the great amazement at the call of Jesus, Lazarus, come out. Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus comes out of the tomb, restored to health, restored to life. The dead man came out alive. What's a year's wages for costly pure nard and wiping Jesus' feet with her hair compared to the glory of God and the resurrection of life? Lazarus, he was a marked man too. The magnificent miracle of his resurrection could not be denied. Jesus called him back to life from the stench of death after 4 days. You don't believe? There's Lazarus. He's the proof. The chief priests were making plans to kill Lazarus too. The evidence was leading people to believe in Jesus, to put their faith in Jesus, because their own eyes could see Lazarus. Faith. Our Christian faith is based on evidence. Just as the people years ago could see the evidence of Lazarus, we have the evidence of the testimonies in the Holy Scriptures handed down to us, as well as historical records from other writers, historical artifacts, and the list of such can go on and on and on. There is plenty of evidence for placing faith in Jesus Christ. Plenty of evidence for believing in Him. Many times as we've been going through this Gospel of John, I have drawn your attention that Jesus was making very clear He is the Christ. Making very clear that divinity was in His nature. That Jesus on numerous occasions claimed to be God. Claimed to be the Messiah of Israel, the Christ. Now this time, Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was very intentional. The meaning was very much intended to be boldly declared. The evidence, the many previous times Jesus entered Jerusalem, he came quietly, sort of like slipping in, quietly appearing in the temple with little notice of how he arrived or even when he entered the city. But this time entering Jerusalem will be different, intentionally different, for the time is the time approaching to the climax, the great battle of the ages, where the scourge of separation caused by sin would be dealt with the most definitive manner, death of the Almighty God. That is how this week will end, a life laid down. So Jesus intentionally begins the week with another fulfillment of Holy Scripture, a testimony that even the high priests and Pharisees could understand, but they did not believe. The hubbub builds. Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. The crowds gather and grow and grow and grow. A sea of green waving in the air. Palm branches moving and swaying with the words shouted and sung from the Psalms. The people flow out to greet Jesus, shouting praises, Hosanna, and that's translated from the Hebrew, Yeshua'anah. Save now, I beseech you. That's from Psalm 118, verse 25. Save now, I beseech you, O Lord. I beseech you, send now prosperity. Yeshua'anah, save now. Psalm 118, verse 26, they sing that. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. With that song from Psalm 118 echoing through the air, palm branches waving joyously, the image is intensified. And it's intensified intentionally by Jesus. Finding a young donkey, Jesus sits on it and continues the joyous parade into Jerusalem. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. That image Jesus is now showing comes from prophecy of Scripture that was known to be a prophecy about the promised Messiah coming as Zion's king. By mounting the donkey, Jesus was visibly declaring himself as King of Zion, Israel's Messiah. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The Pharisees saw everything and were overwhelmed. The numbers singing and shouting, the numbers waving, the palm branches and joyously joining in the procession. Those who had seen the miraculous signs, including the raising of Lazarus, were spreading the word. Here comes Jesus. He has the power to call the dead back to life. Even after 4 days, here comes Jesus. What would it have been like to be in the crowd that day? What would it have been like to be on the wall of Jerusalem that day, looking out towards Bethany and watching the procession build as it comes toward the city? And then the sights and the sounds and the words. What would it have been like? But the feelings and emotions, they're fickle. feelings and emotions are inconsistent and changeable. They will fool you. For in less than a week, the shouts of Hosanna will be replaced by shouts of crucify him. The joyous shouts of save now, I beseech you, will be angry cries of crucify him. Through all of this, the Lord's love and compassion was at work. The great work of saving was taking place. Their shouts of Hosanna will be fulfilled through their cries of crucify him. The word spoken in Bethany, I am the resurrection and the life, will now be shown to be eternally true. There is a beyond for us. There is eternal life for us. There is forgiveness of sin for us. This Jesus will save. Just as Jesus called Lazarus to life in Bethany, in the beyond, Jesus will call you to eternal life, to never die again. Believe this good news. Be transformed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hear that call coming from beyond to believe and live eternally. Because Jesus is the King of Zion. He is the promised Messiah. He is the Christ. Amen and amen.